Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for, even imagine. Amen. I do have one grapevine at my house. This is a branch. I cut it this morning, and it's beginning to become a little lifeless at the edges. And there are many branches on my grapevine that are beginning to build clusters of grapes. But the majority are like this one. There are no clusters of grapes beginning to form, so they need to be pruned away. So someday, I need to do that. Because right now, my grapevine is a twisted bunch of branches, and I do see clusters beginning to form. Jesus loved using metaphors. He loved being able to take an example of something that for the early Christians was every day, something they saw every day. Many people had their own grapevine for their own drink and beverage and to eat. So Jesus used today the metaphor, I am the vine. And in this Gospel of John, Jesus used other metaphors. Last week, he said, I am the good shepherd. In other parts of the Gospel of John, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the living bread. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the gate. But today, Jesus says, I am the true vine, the vine. And Jesus is using this metaphor to begin to talk about the vital connection between branch and vine. And his listeners, as you probably immediately picked up, when Jesus said, I am, he was deliberately also referring to the Hebrew scripture passage where Moses stood in front of the burning bush and is given this mission to go to Egypt and free God's people. And Moses said, okay, but who shall I tell them sent me? And the voice says, tell them I am sent you. So Jesus says, I am the vine. On purpose. So his listeners at the end of this first century are now beginning to believe, aha, Jesus is God. Jesus is God, and we need to have a vital connection. This metaphor is about relationship. So in this relationship, we hear a word that we don't normally hear, the word abide. Abide in me as I abide in you. So this word abide means staying in place, enduring, holding on. So it implies steadfastness, but it really is trying to imply the steadfastness of God. God holds on to you. Hold on to God. Endure. God is enduring whatever you're going through with you. So this abiding, this special word, is also actually used in the second reading from John. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. The message today is really hitting in a very special place. Go deep into this sense of God's love for you and hold on, no matter what. So along with this holding on is also a letting go. Because in the same gospel is this word pruning. So we're meant to abide in God and God abides in us, but God says, actually in this whole vine, to help you bear more fruit, there's going to be some pruning. I'm going to take away those places that are not life-giving. In fact, there are some parts of you that are pretty terrific, but to make it even better, where you are already bearing fruit, I'm going to still do some pruning. Well, what does God mean by that? Sometimes God invites us, as he's today, to some self-examination. Where in me is my love not perfected in God? Where is God not flowing through me? One of the passages in the epistles that I use for a self-examination is 1 Corinthians 13. It helps me get in touch with what are those areas I might need to be more aware of and maybe do some pruning. So 1 Corinthians begins, if I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. So suppose in my efficiency, I say I should call this friend because they're going through something difficult. And so I quickly make a phone call. I'm not on the phone that long, and then I move on. Was that done with love? We can sometimes do good things. I should do this. This should be very helpful. And yet, we might not consciously enter the moment in love. And so it's a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And later on we hear, I can give away a lot of my possessions. Even I can hand over my body. But if I have no love, it's nothing. I could bring a lot of things to Mama Hills or St. Luke's or the military outreach, and I could do a lot of shoulds. But God today in this gospel is saying, link it to my power. Do not be mediocre and do not be powerless. Have my power. That is what changes lives, is my power. Now, on our own, we might not change. We might not think we need pruning or self-examination. But for every single one of us, things happen that pull us up short. An unexpected disappointment. We did not get the promotion. That answer did not happen. Or we were in a car accident. Or. Things happen and all of a sudden we are shocked. We are disappointed. And some of those incidences can cause us pain. Real life pain. And so how do we handle a moment that on our own we wouldn't have chosen, and yet it becomes the very instrument of change, that because this happened, we now live life differently or more lovingly. The pruning can hurt. The moment of shock can just freeze. We can just freeze in that moment of shock. But as my mom would say to me, and it's not in scripture, God never closes a door without opening a window. So in the midst of these moments that are unexpected, or the moments that we recognize, you know, I need to change my attitude. I need to stop that habit. I need to not project or judge or assume. In those moments, pruning is going on. That self-examination allows for the life force of love to flow more through us than if we had not endured or gone through what we went through. But sometimes in those moments, we are held captive by fear because we don't see the window and only feel the closed door. Or we only feel the pain of the accident or the disappointment. So in those moments of fear, what is next? Sometimes when I go to a hospital and somebody has suffered and they're laying there and they cannot talk well because of a tube or something, and I look at them and I can see in their eyes fear. They don't know how to speak, but they are in fear. What's next? When is this pain going to be over? And so I sometimes say to them, I can see you're in fear. And I would like to offer that God is deeper than the pain, deeper than the disappointment or the tragedy, whatever you are facing. And may you use your own breath to deal with what you're dealing with in this moment. So to a hospital person, I might say to them, just breathe in the word God. Because as we heard in the second reading, God is love. It's an energy. It's an is. Breathe in the name of God or the name love. Breathe in love. Exhale fear, the word fear. Consciously exhale that word. And let the life force of your breathing in God, exhaling fear, become another way for the abiding presence of God to strengthen you. So this dwelling of Jesus in us and we in Jesus is every day, every moment. And yet we can be faced with hatred, with misjudgment, with rejection or hurt, or the physical pain that's involved in a tragedy. And the message today is abide in me as I abide in you. This message is meant to go deep. And the places to where we can go to be nourished in this abiding presence of Jesus is in a moment like right now. In this moment here in this church, you're in the radioactive presence of God's love because you're with one another. And if God is love, religion is relationships. Another place that we find God's radioactive love is in Scripture, hearing God's word. And yet on a Sunday morning, we might glaze over, waiting for that person to finish reading, finish singing, finish the next epistle, finish the gospel. And the pruning that can happen is trying to become more present to these moments of God and putting our agenda aside, our list of what needs to happen for the rest of the day, and entering that moment of abiding love with a new, profound choice. And another way that we abide in God and God in us is in moments of love, of service, of connecting one person with another in love, in giving, consciously connecting, not because of a should, but because of a choice. So today, let yourself really believe that you are a beautiful branch in God's vineyard. and the vine will continue to grow. And you are a part of that growth. And we're all called to grow. But sometimes that growth requires some pruning. Don't be afraid to cut away what is lifeless for what can be more life-giving. Amen.